A minor league baseball team's mascot, Ozempig, is causing an uproar. A Beijing half marathon runner is under investigation after it appears some Africans allowed him to win the race. And a Brazilian woman is arrested after taking a corpse into a bank to sign a loan. These are the weird stories for Monday on Weird AF News, the only daily weird news podcast in the universe. I got three weird, kinky stories from around the globe. Ooh, let's do it. A minor league baseball team's in trouble for naming their mascot Ozempig. This story is out of the state of Minnesota. We have here a Minnesota minor league baseball team that's known for their history of wacky, outlandish, crazy promotions. The idea to them of naming their longtime pig mascot after a weight loss drug called Ozempic made perfect sense because it is crazy. It is outlandish. Unfortunately, it's also offensive to some people. The St. Paul Saints is the name of this minor league baseball team. Never heard of them. They quickly found out that not everybody's very amused by their pig's name, Ozempig, nor are they happy about the team's posting of a backstory about Ozempig and Ozempig's embarrassment at gaining all of this weight and Ozempig's promise to try to remain trim throughout the baseball season. People are up in arms. People can't handle it. Ooh! Any sort of referencing to weight loss is fat shaming to some uptight idiots. Okay, it says here, almost immediately after the team announced that they're calling their mascot Ozempig, criticism began pouring in on social media from people distressed by the name, calling it hurtful and insensitive. Can you imagine feeling distressed by, let's break it down. Let's say a Twitter post. Can you imagine feeling distressed by the Twitter post of a minor league baseball team's mascot? I mean, just think about that making you distressed. The name of a minor league baseball's mascot. This isn't even the major leagues. This is a minor league. How many of you even heard of this minor league baseball team, the St. Paul Saints? I mean, this is just such childish behavior. All right, so we have the Sean Aronson, Saints vice president and media relations director, who says the team only wanted an amusing topical name for their pig when it chose Ozempig from the nearly 2,300 entries in their Name the Pig contest. Team officials were very shocked that so many people found this name offensive, according to Aronson. Here's a quote from him. In today's world, people don't want to be diminished. They don't want to be made to feel a certain way. I'm not going to tell them how they feel is wrong. I'll tell them for you, Aronson. He goes on to say, but I can tell you there was no ill intent. There was no maliciousness. There was never even a discussion in the room when we were going over the name that, hey, this might offend some people. Yeah, and that's probably true because Aronson and his crew are probably reasonable human beings. And they thought, no, who could possibly feel pain and hurt and distressed by the name of a minor league baseball's mascot in Minnesota? It says here, Ozempic is among several new drugs that have been effective in helping people lose significant weight. The drugs can be expensive depending on insurance coverage, but have drawn extensive attention in part because they've been promoted by celebrities and social media sites. Yeah, and I also read that it costs $5 to make Ozempic, and they're charging you $1,000 for it. So that just tells you the state of affairs when it comes to pharmaceuticals in this this lovely country of ours with the acceptable healthcare structure. Anyways, back to the pig. The Saints pig is a beloved participant in the team's games played in downtown St. Paul, Minnesota, which is about 10 miles from the much larger home of the Minnesota Twins in downtown Minneapolis. The animal carries out balls to the umpire and over the course of the summer becomes noticeably larger, so much larger, in fact, that another young pig takes over duties midway through the season. Wow. You would think that the pig wouldn't get so big from doing all those chores, like bringing the balls out to the umpire. I'm sure they take it around the perimeter of the field so all the kids can see it as well. Probably takes a lot of photos with the kids, goes on promotion tours. I don't know why they keep feeding the pigs so much. So they got to swap it out. Anyways, it says naming the pig mascot after this high-profile drug seemed a natural fit for the Saints, a AAA affiliate of the Twins that has had a long history of amusing promotions, such as attaching a fan to a Velcro wall in the outfield and holding races in the infield between people dressed as giant eyeballs. Oh, so they do all kinds of fun, funny promotions and stunts there. That sounds like a lot of fun. I noticed that when I go to a minor league baseball game, which it's not often, it's been a long time, that they did have a lot of fun extracurricular activities there. I want to say they raffled off a car when I went to see the Staten Island Yankees play. Minor league baseball games are great. The beer's cheaper. Every seat's kind of pretty good, you know. They don't have these super giant stadiums where you have having to sit at the third upper deck and you can't see a damn thing. And you're like, what am I doing up here? You watch the game on the big screen. It's like, what's the point? No, you can see everything. Oh, I like minor league baseball. And what I don't like is people that get offended by the names of mascots of minor league baseball players. It just seems like so, guys, there's so many better places to put your feelings and emotions. I'm just telling you. Chinese marathon runners lost their medals after it was found out that the Africans let them win the race. The top four finishers of the Beijing half marathon have been stripped of their medals after an investigation found that three African runners deliberately slowed down near the finish line to allow a Chinese competitor to win the race. There's a photo of it. It's so funny. The Chinese man looks like he's struggling, and the African men look like they're just out for a little morning breezy little jog. One of them's looking at the guy's feet like, okay, I got to stay behind him, and let me stay behind him as they approach the finish line. Oh, this is amazing. The Chinese man looks like he's about to keel over. Okay, so China's He Ji crossed the finish line in 1 hour, 3 minutes, 44 seconds to claim the gold medal and a $5,000 first prize, with the African trio just 1 second behind in joint second place finish. That should raise an eyebrow right there. Joint second place finish for three of them. Exactly 1 second behind him. Like, what are we doing here, guys? If you're going to throw the race, I'm not saying throw the race, but if you're going to throw the race, here's how you don't throw the race. You all finish in a cluster exactly 1 second behind the guy, and there's a photo of you all staring at his feet. Like the photo finishes you guys watching his legs to make sure, obviously, that you're behind him. This is not how you do it. It's just the subtlety when you're dealing with throwing gambling sports. Jonesy, can you talk? What do you mean? Throwing gambling sports is a phrase? You know what it means. It says here, the video clip of this finish shows Kenya's Willie Menangat. No, I can't even say, I'm not going to even try. Turning toward the winner, he, and gesturing for him to move ahead as the four men run neck and neck. Oh, there's a video of the guy actually telling him, go on, go, 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 come on, man. We'll be right back here. Oh, I didn't see the video. It's not included in this article, just the photo. The photo looks suspicious enough. It says, a former 5-kilometer world record holder, Robert Keeter, also from Kenya, then appears to wave at the Chinese man, He, to overtake the pack while signaling for his compatriot in Ethiopia's Dejeni Halu to hang on back. So, yeah, they weren't subtle at all about it. Well, I mean, who needs a medal when you got some bribe bucks? Yeah, these guys could use some bribe bucks. Why not? They only pay you $5,000 if you win the damn race. Yeah. Might as well take some bribe bucks. So apparently the video and photo caused an upline on roar. An upline on roar, Jonesy? Yeah, it caused an upline on roar in China, with many calling for an investigation and demanding action from the organizers of the race. And then The committee came out with a statement saying that the three African runners actively slowed down in the last 2 kilometers, and as a result, He Ji won the men's championship. All four runners' results have been revoked, and their trophies, medals, and bonuses will be completely withdrawn. That's right. Cheat, cheat, never beat. It does say here, the Chinese runner He, aged 25, is actually successful. He's broken China's marathon record twice in the past 2 years and is considered one of the country's most promising long-distance runners. He's ranked 74th in the world in the men's marathon by World Athletics and is expected to lead the way for Asian runners in the upcoming Paris 2024 Summer Olympics. Well, how? If I assumed he paid these guys off. Are we supposed to assume that this guy, He, had nothing to do with what transpired? These African men just voluntarily decided to finish second. What is a joke? I don't know. I think there's more here. And if this guy, He, had anything to do with it, he obviously has to be disqualified from the upcoming Summer Olympics. You can't have a guy like that. I mean, I don't know. There's something. Something's afoot here. Afoot. Get it, guys? Because it's a race. It's afoot. Guys, come on. Come on, man. A Brazilian woman is arrested for taking a corpse into a bank to sign for a loan. It's the whole weekend at Bernie's, although this took place in Brazil, so I guess we could call it weekend at Bernardino's. I just covered a weekend at Bernie's like story where they took a dead guy through the bank drive-thru to withdraw money. What is with people still attempting this in 2024? People watch that movie and they think it's a documentary. I'm serious. The article begins by saying when Erica de Souza Vieira wheeled her lethargic-looking uncle into a Brazilian bank, the bank clerks quickly sensed something was amiss. One distrustful employee said to her, "I don't think he's well. Your uncle doesn't look well at all." Despite that, Erica tried to get her dead elderly relative to sign off on a 17,000 Reais loan. How do you say that? R-E-A-I-S? Reais? Is that are those Brazil bucks? Why can't we just call them Brazil bucks, guys? Let's make it easy, all right? The equivalent of this is about 3,000 USD, apparently. So now we have here Paulo Roberto Braga was the uncle. And he was 68 years old when he apparently passed away. Now, I watched the video of this, and he's definitely dead in the video. Who can tell for how long? He's not very stiff, so my guess is this is a recent passing of him. It's very disturbing, the video, by the way. There's two versions of it. One is censored, where you can't see his face, and the other one is uncensored. I had to search for the uncensored video, and it's not easy to watch, so just disclaimer, it's difficult to watch. I'm just going to tell you that. So, you know, I don't recommend it. But watching the censored one, you don't really get the whole idea of what's going on. I mean, and I would describe it to you, but it's ghastly. It's a dead guy whose head's flopping around. She's holding up his head. She's not. I mean, it's just so obvious that he's dead. I can't believe someone would attempt to do this. The internet keeps teaching us how terrible and stupid people can be. And yet, you know, every episode it gets crazier. Weird AF News. It says shortly after entering the bank with her dead uncle, Erica was arrested and charged with violating a corpse and attempting theft through fraud. We have here an investigating officer named Fabio. Yes, Fabio is an investigating officer in Rio de Janeiro. Of course his name is Fabio. He's probably gorgeous, got a six-pack. Fabio says, "She knew he was dead. He had been dead for at least 2 hours. You know, I have never come across a story like this in 22 years as a police officer." It says here, this video of the macabre bank heist attempt has gone viral. And in the video, signs of how insane this woman are. She's obviously holding the man up, but she's talking to him, asking him what's up with him, why he isn't signing the loan papers. She says, yeah, at one point she says, "Uncle, are you listening? You need to sign the loan. If you don't sign, there's no way because I can't sign for you." You can hear a bank employee saying, like, he doesn't look well. His color doesn't look. And she just goes, oh, yeah, he's like that. And, he, you know, he doesn't say anything. Uncle, do you want to go to the hospital again? And then she goes, sign the paper so you don't give me any more headaches. I can't take it anymore. She's talking. I mean, it's just levels and levels of insanity. Then the bank employees immediately called the police. I don't know what you would expect. You tried to just puppeteer a dead man to sign a paper for a loan. You tried to weekend at Bernie yourself alone here. Police are investigating the circumstances of the elderly man's death, including whether the woman is in fact his niece and whether other individuals may have participated in the attempted fraud. It says here she's got a lawyer, this woman, Erica, who's saying that the man was alive when he arrived at the bank. What? This is your argument? No, he was alive when he entered the bank, so the loan stands. No. Even if you are alive when you entered the bank, there's a procedure to acquire a loan. Just because you're under the roof of the bank doesn't even mean you get approved for a loan. You know how many people enter the bank, sit down with someone, and then it's determined that they don't get a loan? Because he was alive when he arrived at the bank. Wow, lawyers, man. Lawyers. All of them are in hell, I think, right? I think all lawyers go to hell. They have to. How could they not go to hell, lawyers? Dumb. Everybody dumb in this story? I think everybody's dumb in this story. Even some of the bankers, like in the video, you could hear them. They're like still questioning it. Like it goes on and on for way too long. I'm like, it's clear immediately that this guy's dead. No, he's resting. He's not resting. He's passed on. He's ceased to be. This is an ex-parrot. Nah. In the U.S., you cannot get a loan if you're a dead guy, but I believe you can still vote. So that's a thing we get going on over here.
Yay!
Hello, my people and my loyal listeners. You're all my people and my loyal listeners, I think, right? Anyone not a loyal listener here? If you're not, just consider it. Just try it. Yeah, I mean, maybe just be loyal for a few days if you want. I mean, it's a very low commitment, really. It's free. The podcast is offered on all podcast players for free, even YouTube. So subscribe, give it a chance, or just listen for a few days before you commit to subscribing. I know it's a big commitment. There's a gazillion podcasts out there that are vying for your attention. So just check it out anyways. If you like weird news 5 days a week, and on Friday I only do weird news from Florida, maybe this is for you. If you could deal with my annoying personality, I think is what the this is the barrier to entry. Anyways, having a great time. I was traveling again. What was it yesterday? So, and it was Jonesy's health was in question. It was a bad day to be traveling. I had to be near a toilet. And that's when you're traveling. It's hard to always be near a toilet. Once I got to the airport, it was good. But the journey, oh boy, it was a journey. You had to check out of my. You got to check out of your hotel, right? Like it's like 11, and my flight wasn't until in the evening. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm a mess. And I, what am I gonna do for 9-10 hours? So I had to figure it out. But we lived to tell the tale. Anyways, I'm back in the first country that I went to, and I'll be here for a bit before I decide where I'm going next. Got a couple options, so I'll keep you posted about that if you give a damn. It's not really important, though. I'll still be doing the podcast wherever I go, so I'll work it out. Anyways, if you guys want to hit me up or follow me on Instagram, see some of my adventures, it's at FunnyJones. My email is funnyjones@gmail.com. I have a phone number here, 646-450-2012. And if you would like to support the show, just go to weirdafnews.com. You can join the Patreon there or buy me a coffee, which I'll probably use to buy beer. Yeah, pretty cool. All right. I love you. Good night.